Tiny Gods by Neural Splice. Copyright 2013 by Michael L. Cope. Audiobook, copyright 2026. All rights reserved. Neither this recording nor any portion of it may be reproduced or used in any other way without prior written permission from the copyright holder. For inquiries, use the contact information at neuralsplice.com. NeuralSplice.com. Chief Xenoarchaeologist Sorgon gently lifted a metallic figurine from the sonic bath. The artifact gleamed in the harsh afternoon light of the sun-baked alien world pond. Constant gusts of scorching, dry wind could not evaporate the wave of elation that washed over him. He held aloft the statuette with his three-fingered forelimbs and waved it in triumph.
More proof we're on the path to finding the many gods' home.
After two grueling weeks, the golden statuette was the most significant find from the excavation of the extinct alien civilization. He placed it on the laser scanner table and initiated the scan sequence. As a laser beam traced a glittering line across the figurine, he slathered more protective moisturizing slime onto his thin amphibian skin.
Not the first time I've heard that.
Pilot Commander Devadi replied. The female Betalan watched the auto-excavator dig up artifacts.
This is my first time seeing the machine in operation,
she said over the rhythmic pounding of the excavator.
How does it work?
Sorgon, a 2-meter-tall Betalan male salamander, approached the industrial excavator that was twice his height. He pointed to the illuminated area in front of it.
Sensors continuously scan the ground and determine what's natural. Thousands of small computer-controlled hammers pound the soil and rock into dust, leaving refined and manufactured materials untouched.
With a grunt, he lifted a metal safety skirt to expose the machine's underside.
Tubes attached to each hammer suck in the dust and debris. Sensors scan the dust for organic material and divert anything interesting for DNA analysis. Everything else continues to this hopper, where it's compressed into bricks.
He gestured towards a distant conveyor belt spewing out perfectly formed bricks. Devadi had recently lost her hind limbs and tail through the process of autotomy. While the missing body parts regenerated, she stood a diminished 1 meter tall. The temporary height disadvantage made her surly.
So it does the work while you stand around and watch?
The blunt assessment made Sargon's crow mat O4s blanch.
Well, I do analyze survey results, pick the locations to place the excavators, and clean and catalog what they uncover.
Seeing his discomfort encouraged Devadi to continue needling him.
As much as you prattle on about alien civilizations and religious iconography, I imagined excavation work as being more exciting.
Sorgon grimaced.
This part is work. The excitement comes later in studying the artifacts to deduce their purpose or cultural meaning.
Congratulations on your find, but it's time to start packing up. I'm returning to the spaceship to finish launch preparations.
The severely injured Devadi punched in a course for her biomechanical auto-walker. She looked up to fix her gaze on Sorgon.
No excuses this time. Have everything ready to leave the planet before tomorrow evening. We're not spending a minute more on this lifeless world pond than we have to.
She engaged the walk assist mode and slowly ambled away rather than admit weakness by letting it carry her. The dust-covered dig site manager approached Sorgon.
Chief, you need to see this.
He presented his datapad, its screen displaying a survey diagram of the excavation site. Luminescent blue lines trace the outlines of a buried building, and at the end of a long subterranean passage, a cluster of bright yellow blobs pulsated. Sorgon interrogated the site manager.
You tuned the subsurface scanners to find the same metals as the figurine?
Yes, Chief.
Sorgon lifted his face to the sky.
The many gods be praised. There are dozens of them.
He turned to the site manager.
Recall as many auto-excavators as you need. This is our priority.
The site manager scuttled off to set his workers to the task, leaving Sorgon basking in the potential of his momentous discovery. That evening, Sorgon cornered Devadi at dinner in the spaceship's feeding pool.
Your hind limbs are regrowing quickly, and your tail stub looks healthy, Pilot Commander.
She grabbed a floating food bulb and waved it at him.
Whatever the question or request is, the answer is no. Our mission charter is to find alien technology, not religious artifacts.
Your royally appointed High Commander and pilot of this blessed vehicle, I beseech you.
Devati splashed water at him.
Enough of the beseeching and formal titles, I said no.
To grant an extension.
He paused to consider his next words.
I know I always ask for more time on every world pond, but this time I beg you.
Sorgon rolled over onto his back.
I expose my underbelly in supplication. Rip it open with your claws, or grant my request.
She sighed and motioned for him to roll over.
I'm accustomed to your theatrics, but I've never known you to grovel. You must have found something important.
Sorgon rolled over and burst into a frantic dialogue.
Only the most important find of my career. After years of ridicule, I have irrefutable proof my theory is correct. We found the home of the many gods.
He linked his data pad to a wall-mounted projector. Holograph images of two humanoid statuettes appeared on the water's surface.
These are from two world ponds we explored during previous missions. To look so alike, they must have worshipped the same gods.
Coincidence. Like most civilizations, those two shared a natural tendency to create idols resembling themselves. That's not proof of shared gods.
Sorgon tapped a key and a third figurine of metal shimmered into view.
This is the idol you saw this morning. Three alien civilizations, widely separated by space and time, all with similar-looking representations of their gods, that cannot be coincidence. It must be evidence of a common origin.
He pointed at the three figurines in turn.
Carved hardwood, fire-baked soil with a glaze, cast metal, the cruder figures are the youngest. That's a clear indication of technological advancement fostered by the many gods along their path of inward migration.
Not all civilizations arise at the same time or advance at the same rates. We happened upon them in that order.
Sorgon pulled up a holographic star chart.
Here's the star system we're in now, the most technologically advanced, at the outer edge of the galaxy. Here are the other two, further in. A straight line connects all three civilizations, and our own, along a course leading to the galaxy center.
Which can be explained by chance alignment and our radial course of exploration.
Devati manipulated the star chart.
Adjust for thousands of years of orbital rotation and the line bends into an arc.
Sorgon waggled his tail, sending ripples across the water.
Beautiful. If you were trying to disprove my theory, an arc only made it likelier that the gods followed an intentional, non-random path.
No, it doesn't. With only four data points, it's easy to make an arc.
He frowned.
Pilot Commander, why are you so determined to refute my theory on the gods?
The tone of her voice softened.
I may not believe your theories, but I do believe you are a talented xenoarchaeologist. Don't throw your career away by pursuing heretical theories held up by faith instead of facts. Every one of my counter-arguments will be expressed by religious scholars on Beetle 4, many of whom have motives to destroy you as a follower of the true religion sect.
This world pond is going to prove everyone wrong. We all share a common pantheon of gods who are disseminating religion and knowledge on a journey to the galaxy core.
Then why are we the only civilization to have discovered hyperspace travel? Why didn't any of these civilizations find us first?
Sorgon waved a dismissive claw.
Maybe they did but found wormholes that sent them in a different direction through space. Or, as my xenobiology colleagues claim, amphibians are more intelligent than reptile, insectoid, and worm fur species, and therefore the galaxy's most technologically advanced.
We'll have plenty of time to debate your theories on the trip home. For now, we need to focus on meeting our scheduled launch time. If we miss the window for us to link a wormhole to our next destination, it's 5 solar revolutions until both systems align again.
I can't argue with celestial mechanics. It has been a long expedition, and I also miss the wetlands of Beetle. Even with this historical finding, I cannot imagine living on this desert world pond for 5 solar revolutions, especially with such exciting news to share.
He prostrated himself again.
Thank you for your time.
She caressed his forelimb.
Sorgon, I am intrigued by your theory. You can tell me more on the journey home.
His skin turned bright yellow as he stuttered.
I will supervise the pack-up personally.
3 days later, the ship was en route to interstellar space. The navigation systems charted a course to a suitable anchor point to create a wormhole to the Beetle system. With her duties complete, Pilot Commander Devadi upheld her promise to visit the chief xenoarchaeologist's laboratory. She found Sorgon hard at work, surrounded by bins full of figurines that were stacked on every flat surface.
Are these all from the recent dig?
Yes. As I indicated in my failed supplication, we found the motherlode. Surely they're assigned the world pond as a source, if not the source, for all religions.
Why do you think so many of the figurines were stored in that building?
My initial theory was the building was a religious shrine or place of communal worship. Located near the collection of statuettes, we found numerous photographs like this one.
He handed her a picture of a group of natives. One of them held a large figurine over its head.
I first thought they were a high priest calling the faithful to worship.
What changed your mind?
Sorgon spread out several photographs on the table.
Notice how there are never more than three adult aliens? In each photo, they're surrounded by a dozen or more younglings holding the oblong symbol of station held by the gods in miniature.
Except for their tiny eyes and lack of tails, I am reminded of the spawn mates from my youth in the rearing ponds.
Sorgon's eyes gleamed with excitement.
Based on the artifacts and building layout, I believe the dig site was an indoctrination center for their offspring. The idols were communal property. A small clutch of younglings, led by adults, were charged with the care of an individual god figurine.
Devadi examined the boxes of statuettes and the photographs.
Where you only see similarities, I notice the differences from the other god figures we've found. Look at all the writing on them. I don't see that with other figurines.
She slow-blinked in thought.
Perhaps they're not religious icons at all.
Preposterous. Again, you posit the idea of a civilization that does not have religion as the prime force and motivation. The one thing I can say with certainty is that civilizations arise because a species becomes intelligent enough to form religious beliefs. Differences in representation are each species' perceptions of the gods being filtered through the lens of their experience and needs.
Although our society is guided by beliefs in many gods, our primary mission on these expeditions is scientific and not religious, correct? Why do you dismiss the notion alien societies might be guided purely by science?
Sorgon waved a foreclaw at her.
The mission is scientific, but the knowledge we gain informs our religion. We once believed ours was the only civilization in existence. Science proved that false, so we changed our belief structure.
Because that's where the science led. Whereas you let your religious beliefs guide your science, we've only explored a single world pond in a star system with dozens of habitable world ponds. Maybe the people of this world pond were zealots devoted to this one god. What you've labeled an indoctrination center could be a factory or warehouse for the figurines.
One god? Now who is entertaining blasphemous notions? No, I hold to my theory that a single set of gods is shared by all civilizations rather than numerous localized gods.
I've heard you give variations of this argument on half a dozen alien world pawns.
She returned the tablet and figurine.
And I will continue until it becomes accepted as truth. If we cling to the belief our gods are confined to the Beetle system, we will never grow into a spacefaring civilization.
In my service as pilot commander, I have experienced firsthand the dangers of space exploration and assumptions.
Devadi pointed at her juvenile hind limbs and tail bud.
You weren't with us on the Zarthan expedition. We thought we understood that world pond based on our observations. We saw creatures that looked exactly like the docile herbivores from Beetle 3, small, warm furs with large, innocent eyes I assumed were harmless.
She paused, her gaze distant.
We were terribly mistaken. They were vicious pack hunters and swarmed me before I could react. If the security team hadn't reached me in time, I would have lost more than my hindquarters.
She trailed off, her auto walker shifting slightly. Sorgon's chromatophores paled.
I'm sorry, Devadi, and apologize for my thoughtless comments earlier.
I'm not telling you this for sympathy. Be warned, appearances can be deceiving, especially on alien world pawns.
I recognize the dangers, but believe isolation is a greater danger. Eventually, our civilization will stagnate, collapse, and disappear like so many others. As a follower of the true religion, I believe our gods are universal and gifted us with hyperspace travel to become an interstellar empire.
Until the Grand Clerical Council of Her Most High Empress determines any part of your theory is true, it's dangerous to be so certain in your findings. Although I may find the theory compelling in private, I remind you to not spread your heretical beliefs among my crew.
The royal estate on Beetle Far was a massive stone structure that formed an artificial marsh. Life-size statuary of the many gods occupied every corner. The main hall featured a central fountain, where Empress Nimbu presided from a carved wooden lily pad. Sorgon wheeled in a cart stacked with figurines. 10 assistants pushing similarly laden carts followed him. An elderly priest attendant announced his presence.
Chief Xenoarchaeologist Sorgon, head of the Museum of Alien World Pond Artifacts, recently returned from an off-world pond expedition, requests an audience.
He may approach.
The Empress focused her large frog eyes on Sorgon.
Why does your name sound familiar?
Your Grace, my mother, was a god speaker for your mother's court. My brother is also a well-known godseer who decorated your court to resemble the mythical pond of paradise.
Your mother was blessed to spawn so many successful tadpoles. Why have you brought a collection of museum artifacts? Entertainment is normally reserved for dinner parties.
Sorgon bowed.
Esteemed Empress Nimbu, ruler of the land and waters of three world ponds, these are not from the museum. This is a portion of the hall from my expedition. The carts hold religious figurines of one god found all over a single distant world pond.
A collective gasp rippled through the court. The Empress's eyes bulged and she leaned forward.
These are for one god. How many gods did you find?
51 and counting. The richest source of iconography we have found on any world pond.
A single world pond worshipped 51 gods. Their priests must have numbered in the thousands.
Every other culture we've located has a single dedicated worship center in their cities to hold religious ceremonies and iconography. All other public and private structures hold no representation of the gods. In this lost culture, nearly every type of building, including their residences, had one or more shrines devoted to their tiny golden gods. Individuals were permitted to worship their gods in private.
The priests flanking the Empress glared at him with disgust and mouthed silent prayers to their respective deities. Empress Nimbu rubbed the nictitating membranes of her eyes in disbelief.
Although the priests consider it heretical, I entertain such notions of universal deities because ruling our empire is a daunting task. I require blessings and intervention from as many gods as I can find.
She swept a large foreclaw to encompass the dozens of altars covered with idols and attended by a multitude of priests from every race of amphibian.
The Empress grasps the core tenet of my theory, then. When an ecological catastrophe left their world pond unlivable, the gods traveled among the stars. They sought other races to share their knowledge and the true religion.
Thank you for bringing this god to me. How do I worship the god so it may bring blessings to the empire?
It is an honor to serve, my empress. I believe you raise your forelimbs in the air and wave them around while shouting and eating snacks.
The empress held up the golden figurine and spoke to it.
If that is all you required, what kind of god were you that you did not save them from destruction?
She aimed the camera of her datapad at the placard at the base of the idol. She looked at the text translation on the screen.
Which of these words is the name of the god?
Translation of their language is ongoing, and most of the words have no assigned meaning. However, due to its consistent use, I believe the last one.
A synthetic voice from the Empress tablet sounded out the words of an alien language not heard in 1,000 years.
2037 State Champions Forest Pine High School Football.
As you can see here, Empress, there are many honorifics granted to the god football.
he held two more figurines for her to see.
Here is another one from the same continent called East Valley High School Football. This one is from another continent on the opposite side of the planet where they refer to the god as North Melbourne Kangaroos Football Club.
He returned the figurines to the cart.
We also found hundreds of statuettes for gods named baseball and basketball. My belief is the Human World Pond was the breeding pond for gods throughout the galaxy. I'm confident there are more gods to be discovered if you approve a return expedition.
The Empress consulted with her advisors.
Approved. You are to accompany Inquisitors of the Grand Clerical Council to the World Pond of the Human Warm Furs and bring us more of their tiny gods.
Time is precious and limited. I hope you found this story worthy of your time. For more ebooks and audiobooks by this author, visit www.neuralsplice.com.